fight the good fight of faith means trusting God to defend us. It doesn't mean trying to win the battle in and of ourselves. It's trusting God to defend us. Otherwise, it's not a fight of faith. It's a fight of confidence in our own ability, our own spiritual understanding and knowledge, our own power through the Holy Spirit. I still need the God that loves me enough to give His Son for me to fight in my behalf. It's not by might nor power. It's by the Spirit of God that mountains move. Can you say amen? That enemies are defeated. To me, the shield of faith is not some force within me that magically appears when I read promises. It's a person that loved me enough to give His Son for me, and a Savior who loved me enough to die on the cross for me. That becomes my shield. I love the way David put it in the Old Covenant, "Thou, O Lord," and that's your theme song. Sister, amen. "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Amen. He is a provider. He is a protector of His people. Can you say amen? "Those my Father hath given me, I haven't lost any of them. For the Father that giveth them me, He is greater than them all." Hallelujah. God is good today, and His mercy endures forever. Father, I'm going to ask You to bless Your word in a particular, a special way today. We're a heavy, burdened people. We're living under the weight of the final closing hours of human history. We're living in a time called perilous. In the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous and outrageous times. We can't help but hear the news. We can't bury our head in the sand and pretend that we're in some kind of bubble where none of these things can affect us. It does affect us. But we're told to look to You and to trust in You, particularly in the times that we are living. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the Book of Remembrance, the Book of Life, and the Lamb's Book of Life. Your names are recorded in these books. In fact, I believe these books, part of it may be debatable, but I'm not here to debate it, but declare the fact that God keeps records, and He keeps very good records. Can you say amen? And when He puts your name in a book, whether there's a literal book somewhere with your name in it, or does it mean that God in his omniscience, in His all-knowingness, makes personal promises concerning you as an individual today? There could be an actual book. I know there was a book in the hand of Him that sits upon the throne, and not one was found worthy to take that book and begin to release the seals thereof, because releasing those seals meant that the wrath of God and the judgment upon the wicked was going to be poured out during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the day of the Lord, the day of Jacob's trouble. Never a day like it, never going to be a day like it in the history of human beings. All of the wrath of God that has been stored up is going to be released. Actual demons from the pit are going to be released. People look over that sometimes. We get caught up in the hailstones weighing 96 pounds and the sun becoming so intense that sores are coming on people exposed to it. But a pit is going to be opened, and actual demons that have been contained in it are going to be released to torment man. This is going to be a horrendous, horrific time. It's almost indescribable when you read about it, because you can't really wrap your mind around it. I don't want to be here during the tribulation. That's why one of the reasons I came to Jesus is to make sure I'm not going to be here. And if the church has to be purified by going through the tribulation, as some teach, then all the people that ever died in Christ before it happens are going to get there without having to be purified. Thank you for the echo, the silent echo. Amen? Dead in Christ are going to rise. Well, what purified them? Qualified them for heaven? The blood of Jesus. Amen? So going through the tribulation and staying true is not what purified. That'll save you from damnation if you're living during that time. Will there be people saved during that time? According to scriptures, yes. Christians will be killed. I would suggest that people come to Christ now. Because if you can't live for him now, you're probably not going to die for him then. I want to say that again. If you can't live for him now, more than likely you would not die for him then. Because you will take the mark. You'll take the easy way out. Because the heart that isn't open to his love, his grace, his salvation now, is going to be in bad shape to have to lay down your life during that period in order to be saved. And that's the only way. And it doesn't mean it's saved by works. It means Christians are going to be killed. And you're going to either identify with him or you are not going to identify with him. I want to identify with him right here and right now. Your name is in a book if you're a Christian. If you've really been saved, a book of remembrance has been written so that God recognizes you. It's what it's saying. It's important that God recognizes you as his child. You can make any claim on him you want, but that's not what is the ultimate in your life. The ultimate is that God recognizes you as belonging to him. A lot of people claim him. Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says they profess that they know him, but in works they deny him. This is not working for your salvation. This is works that clarify and certify that you have been saved. It is not sinless perfection either, or legalism. It means if you truly get saved, there's a work of the Holy Spirit called regeneration. In essence, they didn't have to take my wife. They said my wife's heart was good. Actually, he said she should be good for another 50 years. Her heart was in good shape. And I said, I'm going to have to hit the gym. I'm going to have to renew my membership. Amen. She's good for 50 years. Well, I feel somebody told me the other day, you're only as old as you feel. They thought that would be helpful. when you're pushing 80, they actually thought, well, I'm not pushing it. I'm 76 and counting. Amen. But they don't ask me anymore. They just give me the senior discount. Can you say just, I don't have to wear one of those hats or something, you know. And they don't card me either to make sure I'm a senior, you know. They did that one time at Larry Park when I took my son after school. I was much younger then, but I was a senior. I qualified. Amen. God is good today. He's written your name in a book. Your name appears in a book. The first book I want to talk to you about real quick is the Book of Remembrance. If you'll turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi 3 and verse 16. By the way, there is a heart transplant that happens when you truly get born again, truly get saved. Jesus came to establish a new covenant. He said it with his disciples at the Last Supper, the Eucharisto, that Passover meal that he ate with them. He said of his blood that was shed on the cross, going to be shed on the cross, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. That covenant is back in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, and when it was brought forward to the new through Jesus, the fulfillment of that prophecy, as it is written, saith the Lord, I will take out the heart of stone. I will replace it with the heart of flesh. So God doesn't have to write his commandments on stone and then bring it to us. He writes it upon that fleshly, soft, pliable, newborn heart that he gives us. In fact, loving the Lord and loving our fellow man is the only two that is necessary to fulfill the 10. Thank you again for the echoes off the wall. On these two commandments, thou shalt love the Lord vertical, and thou shalt love thy neighbors with all thy heart, mind, soul, body, strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Can you say amen? You believe that's true? So, do you believe if you love somebody, you won't steal from them? So you don't have the commandment to make you not steal. If you love somebody, you're not going to try to take their mate from them. If you love them. If you love God, you're not going to bow to other gods. So he doesn't have to tell you, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't have to tell you about idols. Oh, by the way, if you love somebody, it's on good ground that you will not murder them. Amen. Amen. So you don't need a commandment to tell you not to kill them. Amen. Heard a song the other day. Hadn't heard it in years. Pistol packing mama. Put that pistol down. That's from the 40s. I thought it was written about Chicago or New York recently. Pistol packing mama. I won't sing it. Don't worry. If you get those two, you keep the 10. That's what Jesus, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Fulfill it in a way that we can and will do it because of a new nature and a new heart. Can you say amen? So listen to the book of remembrance, Malachi 3 and verse 16. Take a minute to look at this deeply. Think about it deeply. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another. I want to stop there. They that feared the Lord spoke often to one another. The situation was that the covenant people of God are drifting from him. They're making concessions. They're making compromises. They're belly aching. They're complaining. They're saying the proud are happy. Those people that normally God would be judging and chastising, they seem to be prospering. They're doing okay. We're getting the short end as people who serve him. We sacrifice to serve the God of Israel, and what do we get for it? What are we getting out of it? So in the midst of that compromise, there was a remnant core that would get together and say, you know something? They really don't get it. They're getting so far away from God, they don't know him nor trust him anymore. But we know him, and we trust him, and we're not going to follow the flow away from him. We're going to draw even closer to him. I really believe if you're a true Christian today, the compromises we're seeing in the church and in the world will stimulate you to draw even closer to God, to stand even taller for Jesus Christ than ever before. I want people to know where I stand today. I'm a Christian. Deal with it. I got to deal with the wicked. I got to deal with the ungodly. I got to deal with all the junk that is trying to be shoved on me. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. I'm going to tell you what God said about your life. It's up to you to choose. Amen. But the very fact that I am a Christian is going to be a thorn in some people's side. It's going to bug them. It's going to bother them. I worked on a job. I was bivocational for 12 years. And I remember I used to park by a Satanist. He had all these stickers on his car, you know, and I used to purposely park by him, just so he would have to see me, because every time he saw me, he would just go the other way, take the long way around. If I started out after, you know, and I never encountered him or tried to make him feel bad. I wanted to show everybody the love of Jesus, but it's bugged him that there was a Christian living out the faith publicly, and that really bothered him. Don't be intimidated by the devil. If you knew how afraid he was of God and how afraid he is of you because God indwells you, it would give you some backbone, amen, to stand up and not stand down in this time when it's crucial that we stand up. Praise God. The Bible said, thou believest there's one God, thou doest good. You're not the only one that believes that. The devil is a believer. He rejected God. He tried to be God, and he still wants to be God. But he's a believer. Thou believest, the devil's not an atheist. No, he is not. He's a firm believer. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils believe, and they tremble. They tremble. They tremble. It's time we turn the tables on the devil. We got too many trembling saints that are intimidated by the devil. Why did you park next to him? Don't you think something's going to get on you? No, he's afraid something off of me is going to get on him. That's why he stayed away from me. He didn't want to make eye contact with me. Amen. He never did the whole time. Did you win him to Jesus? No. But I let him know that there's a greater one living in me. And I don't have to run from you. Oh, I'm not going to go to something that's going to, you know, compromise my faith. I just like to park by a car like that. Instead of park way across the parking lot. Because, you know, he's probably demonic. And yeah, he probably is. But I'm going to tell you something. This day of fear, this day of being like turtles that pull their head in and don't stand up and stand tall. I know I had a preacher friend that he was fixated on the prosperity message and the hyper faith message. But he got something wrong that gave place to the devil. With all of this faith, he got something wrong. He became sick, and this faith, hyper faith, says you don't get sick. If you cough and you're in this group of people, you say, I believe I'm being healed of a cold. You don't confess you have a cold, even though all that stuff's coming out of your nose. Can you say, man? Faith doesn't deny that there is a giant. Faith says that the God that's with me and within me is greater than he that's in the world. Faith looks squarely at the mountain and says God is bigger than that mountain. Faith is not intimidated. Fear knocked on the door. Faith went to answer and said, there's no one there. I don't see what is so fearful to you. And I'm talking about debilitating fear to where we feel demonic stuff. I couldn't get over this person with such faith. And yet, when they became ill and healing didn't immediately come, instead of going back to the Word and back to our own character and searching out the, here was the excuse for the sickness, because you're not supposed to get sick in that group. And if you do, there's something wrong with you. Well, we could always blame that on the devil. And that's exactly what happened. Our meeting place, it was stated, was in proximity, a block or a block and a half, from a spiritualist meeting place. And they must have put a curse on him, because he is a preacher of the gospel. Well, if they're going to put a curse on me, then he that's within me is no longer greater. I can't handle that. I will not acquiesce to that. I do not believe that for one millisecond. The God I serve causes devils to tremble. And you know what that word tremble means? It doesn't mean just get the shakes. I looked it up in the Greek. It means to have the hair stand up on your arms and to have your flesh to just creep. Just feel creepy. I mean, it's listen to this scripture. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he will put a curse on you because you're godly. I'm under the, no, you're not under the curse. No, you're not under the curse. He was made a curse for you. They can't curse you. You cannot curse what God has blessed. That's an Old Testament truism carried over to the New Covenant. When God pronounced a blessing, there was no way to defeat his covenant people. So a king hired a prophet for profit. And we got him around today, a prophet for profit. He said, what you prophesy comes to pass. So prophesy against the children of Israel so I can meet them in battle and defeat them. First he said to the prophet, why can't I defeat them? We got a greater army. We got greater warriors. Why is it every time we go to battle, they win, they win, they win, they win? He said, because they serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have a covenant. And besides that, the shout of a king is among them. He is there with them. He's not sitting aloof in his heaven. He's right there with them. And he says, well, I want you to curse them so he will back away from them and let me get at them. I hired him. I'll pay you well. And this prophet, which prophesied for profit, tried to do it. As if because he's a prophet, he can prophesy a curse in the name of the Lord that is already proclaimed a blessing. Curses won't break blessings from God. I see Christians so intimidated they can't enjoy the Lord. They're so aware of the devil. There used to be a book called Pigs in the Parlor. And everybody thought everybody had some evil spirit. Two ladies came to our church supposed to meet for prayer. One of them was late. They were into all of this. The devil, the devil, the demons, the demons. And they didn't understand who they were in Jesus. Amen. They didn't know how to walk in the victory that he gives us. So when the one was absent, got to be careful around these people. They'll accuse you of being demon possessed. And one of them, I was there. I was cleaning, and they were going to pray, and I wanted to get out of the way so they could pray. And I heard the one lady. I said, "Where's so and so?" Said, "She's not here yet. She said she would be here at 7 p.m. It is 7:15. Then I heard her say, and I just bit my tongue. I just walked away and I thought, this childish foolishness, unbiblical stuff among Pentecostals, tongue-talking, certified, card-carrying Pentecostals, full of the Holy Ghost, to make a statement like this. She must have a lying spirit. She's 15 minutes late, and she's got a spirit of lying that needs to be cast out of her. No, she doesn't. He ain't a second helping. Big as he is, he must have a spirit of gluttony. No, he don't. He just has an appetite. He don't need Wendy cast out of him. What's your name, spirit? My name be Wendy. I mean, it gets ridiculous, doesn't it? It gets ridiculous to go to a hyper-faith Bible school, to believe that I can believe for anything. I'm up for everything. And yet acknowledge that a psychic church can curse you and overrule God's blessing and override God's presence and bring that physical curse to pass. I thought, this is fundamental. We need to get this right this morning. He that's in you is great. Yes, yes, we argue against powers. It is absolutely intimidating if it wasn't for God's armor. We do not argue with flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, back off. Stay away. Don't stand and declare the greatness and the goodness of God. Amen. Be intimidated. Let fear drive you instead of faith to lift you up. No. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Is it available? It's available for the taking. It's available for the taking. You have to take it. He makes it available, but you have to take it. And Christians are not taking it, obviously, because the fiery darts are coming through. And one piece of it quenches all of them. One piece of it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be enabled, able to quench all the fiery darts. Everybody say flaming arrows. Flaming arrows. For those wooden, many times wooden shields that were in ancient times covered with leather. Armies that carried the wooden shields in particular were vulnerable to those arrows that have been dipped in oil, set on fire, and fired because a man's got his shield up and two or three flaming arrows hit it and set his shield on fire. And he's either going to burn his arm off or drop his shield. And you know what Satan wants us to do? To drop our shield. Because he knows that our shield is God himself. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the, if you see the shield of faith as a power within you, if that power within you shakes, you have no shield. But if you see God as your protector, God is your provider, God who fights that battle in the name of Jesus in your behalf, if God be for you, I forgot my drop mic. I'll bring it next week. Can you say amen? I'm not going to drop this one. If God be for us, what more shall we say to these things? This is a drop the mic statement in Scripture. Is God for you? Is God for you? Then what are you afraid of? Who are you afraid of? When the shield of faith comes down, those fears begin to capture us and encapsulate us. And Satan is counting on you dropping that shield. Many people have never raised it. They have been taught because of so much defeat. If we acknowledge so much defeat in the Christian community, then we're going to have to acknowledge that we're missing something crucial and critical in the Word of God. So we have to come up with a doctrine to allow for all of that. Whatever is happening to you, God has willed it, God has purposed it, or it couldn't be happening to you because of His sovereignty. That is not true. God in His sovereignty said, submit yourself unto God through His word, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He knows there's people he may not. So the Bible says, don't give place. When I acknowledge, when you acknowledge that the devil has more power than God, that he that's in the world is greater than he that's in you, you give place to the devil. It's not just a sin of disobedience, it's a sin of distrust in the Word of God and the God of the Word. And you give ground to the devil. We lived in a trailer when we first came to Florida. I was 14 months old. And I grew up in a very small trailer. It wasn't a mobile home. It wasn't a, you know, what's the ones that's better than houses? Sometimes modular. It wasn't a modular. It was a trailer. In fact, half of it had a leather covering like they used to put on cars before, way after that. My dad bought it at a gas station where some gypsy people were traveling, ran out of gas, car broke down. They sold him their trailer. They used to call them a caravan. This particular brand on this trailer was a covered wagon. And no one is shocked anymore when I tell them, when I was growing up, we had a covered wagon. I'm old-er, but Mike, I'm not that old. When place was given to the devil, credit was given to him, more power was ascribed to him, and when fear was entertained, because of him, the sickness was never healed. And this is a person who didn't believe they could get sick. If I don't confess it, it won't happen. But I can confess that the devil has more power and influence. A curse can come on me. When this prophet tried to curse Israel, this prophet for prophet tried to curse Israel. He said the only way you can harm them, the only way you can touch them, the only way you can defeat them, the only way you can overcome them or overwhelm them is if their God forsakes them. But as long as the shout of a king is among them, you can't do it because he's going to fight in their behalf. I don't know about you, but I like that kind of shield. I like that kind of shield. Praise God. It's not a Star Wars type of force from somewhere that suddenly magically, mystically appears in my life because I read a few scriptures or grab a hold of a few promises. Can you say amen? It's something that comes when I know the one that I serve and I know that he is greater and I refuse to acquiesce and give place to the devil. I will not admit that he can hurt me. I will, if I give place to him, he can destroy me. The healing never came. Never came. Never came. And the deterioration of health continued. When that belief system kicks in, and there are Christians so intimidated by powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness, put on God's armor. Put on God's armor. Start with what the Roman soldier put on when he got up in the way. He didn't put on the helmet, didn't put on the sword, didn't put on the shoes, didn't put on the breastplate. First thing he reached for was his belt. Because everything hinged on that. And what is the belt? Put on. Let your loins be girt about with truth. And it involves the mindset because it says, let your mind be girt about with truth. If the devil can get you thinking that you can be defeated by him, he will have you giving place to him and dropping your shield of faith. Amen. I've heard this until it just sickens me to watch the defeat and destruction in the lives of people who have not been instructed correctly from the Word of God. They would rather dance. They would rather shout. They would rather fall out. They'd rather run around the building than to sit down and do a personal inventory. Do I really believe that he that's in me is greater? Do I believe it to the extent that I will not be paralyzed by fear? People that dwell on the demonic live in fear. They live in it. It exists. We don't deny it. We just declare, he that's in me is greater. If God be for us, what more? That's the end of the argument. It doesn't matter who's against us or what's against us. What matters is, are you in a position that God can say, you belong to me and I'm for you, therefore. Hallelujah. Who can be against us? Nobody. It's a rhetorical question to someone who believes. To watch the destruction, to watch the devastation, to watch the spiritual just annihilation of people who are, listen, I don't deal with Ouija boards. I don't go to seances. I don't want to get into that demonic stuff. Because I know that that's a compromise. But it doesn't matter who's putting a curse on me today. It doesn't matter who's sticking pins in some little preacher doll. Amen. Prophesy against them. He decides, this prophet for prophet, he decides to try it. I'm a prophet. He tries to curse Israel. Every time he opened his mouth to try to curse them, God grabbed a hold of his tongue and turned that curse into a blessing I curse and bless you in the name of the Lord God of... Wait a minute. Let me try that again. I've been paid here. I got to come through. I curse you in my... I bless you in the name of the... You cannot. You cannot. Not you must not. You cannot. You cannot curse what God has blessed. Because the one who has pronounced the blessing is above and beyond and greater than. He doesn't have some power and the devil has some and there's this tug of war. No, there is not. Hallelujah. He said all power. Jesus said all power. All power. All power is given unto me over heaven and earth. And there's not a demon in hell that doubts it, but there's a whole lot of Christians that do. That means the devil is a more of a believer than a lot of believers. The devil's believe shakes them, scares the life out of them. I started to say the H-E double hockey sticks out of them, but Sean is not here to appreciate it, so you'd have had to have been here last week. When Jesus approached the demoniac with the legions of devils in him, they couldn't capture him. He would break chains. He cut himself on the rocks. They couldn't contain. Listen, when Jesus approached, before he said one word, they recognized who he was. And once they recognized who he was, game over. They acquiesced to his authority. They know, we know who you are. We know who you are. See, the devils believe and tremble. It's Christians who disbelieve and tremble. Amen. And could quit all that nonsensical trembling. Amen. If we would just believe. Can you say, amen, if we would just believe that our God is indeed greater and our God is in control and our God has all power over heaven and earth and the name of Jesus reigns in three dimensions. He's given him a name above every name that's named. There's nothing and no one in heaven that excels the authority of the name of Jesus of things in heaven. There's no angel. There's no one in heaven that excels in power and authority than Jesus Christ. There's none upon the earth, hallelujah, that excels over the name of, that's why in my name, you'll cast out devils. In my name, you'll tread on the serpents. Can you say, amen? In my name, you'll lay hands on the sick. In my name, they will recover. Come on, believers. At some point, we have to believe in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. The devil's doing, okay? What is God doing? What would God do? Of things in heaven? Of things in earth? There's no name greater. And of things beneath the earth, in that nether world, where the devil has, well, he has a headquarters that influences from the air, but figuratively speaking, that under the earth is the underworld, that darkened realm of Satan and all of his demons. When does fear give way to faith? Because if you're going to fight this battle, it has to be the good fight of faith. So the prophet tries to curse. He can't. He comes back to the king and he said, every time I tried to curse Israel, only blessing, only blessing, only blessing would come. And besides that, the fact that I can't curse them, the God who has proclaimed and pronounced the blessing on them, he's with them. That's why you can't defeat them. That's why you can't destroy them. Because you have to get through him to get to them. Thou, O Lord. I'm almost done. I'm just getting started. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. my glory and the lifter of thou, O Lord. When you see the shield of faith, don't think force within you. Think of Father who defends you. I remember one man saying where this man used to go and listen to, I remember him saying on television, this force of faith within me. How about this Father? How about this Father? How about this Father? I have a Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And he tells me as a daddy, he says, if you being evil, intrinsically of the flesh, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that love him and give the Holy Ghost to them that love him? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, if a man that is a daddy, a father, failed to provide for his own, he has denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. That's heavy duty stuff. When you're a guy that decided he was too much of a prophet and too much of a minister to get a job and take care of his family. While declaring himself to be a prophet, God has called him an infidel. Not that he was, but that he was same as. And is my father going to do less than he requires of me concerning his children? Is my God not going to protect me, provide for me? And I provide more than pork and beans. If somebody tries to break in my house, shame on them. Me and Smith and Wesson, the three of us. You know Smith and Wesson? Yeah, they'll stand right there with you. Not to mention my dog. My dog has been abused. He hates people except us. We got bad dog signs and do not pet on his, you know, thing we put on him. He was sitting beside me riding shotgun when I had my van. I don't have it anymore, but when I had it, he riding shotgun. And he's 90, well, he's probably 100 pounds now, and he's got this big fur, and he's sitting up. We're going through a drive-thru, and he's just sitting there looking so regal. He's looking around, you know, he's been abused. We're the only people who would take him in. We did it out of compassion. We wanted a little dog that we could cuddle, and we got a big dog, a big hairy beast of a dog. And yeah, we thought it'd be temporary. We're gonna foster him till somebody'll take him. We found out nobody's gonna take him. Amen. He's a bad boy to everybody else, and he loves us to pieces. Lays on his back and wants me to rub his old stomach. Wow. Love is breaking down all of that anger and all of that hurt. And but it hadn't broke down yet when we first got him. He's sitting there riding shotgun. He's right there next to me. He's sitting up in the seat. He won't even look over at the drive-thru. He don't understand pup cups yet. Pup cups can change dogs. Amen. I thought about getting one for me if he didn't want it. Amen. I know. Okay. Hallelujah. If you don't want it, I'll eat it. Anyway, the lady, sweet, sweet young black lady, she's inside. She sees him pass me, obviously a dog lover. And she leans all the way out the takeout window and looks at him. And he's sitting there like, don't you look at me. I don't make eye contact with me. She don't know him. And she said, I love your dog. What was the word she used? Oh, yeah. He's adorable. And he went, ah. And I thought, man, the lady's paying you a compliment. Come on, dog. Come on. Lady would love to pet you, and there you are growling at her. Let me tell you about the devil. He goeth about as a roaring lion. Roaring doesn't just mean the sound that he's making. It means hunger. Hunger. He is hungry to devour and destroy the object of God's love, and that is all mankind. He hates mankind because they have the opportunity for redemption, and he and the angels that followed him do not. There is no forgiveness for those that dwelled in this perfect light and perfect knowledge. They sinned in the light. We sinned in the darkness of deception, and God takes that into consideration. We can be redeemed if we come to Christ. Those angels and the devil cannot. Therefore, he hates us. And he would love to take as many of us to hell that he possibly could. And if he can't take us to hell, to debilitate us, destroy us physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, and every other way that he possibly could, except for the proclamation of God's blessing and the personal commitment to never leave us and never forsake us, but to go with us all the way, even unto the end of the age. I always tell people, if you go out of here and you read what the stars say about, what are you? What's your sign? The cross. What's your sign, Brother Venable? Because your character, your future is based on what sign you're on. I'm under the sign of the cross. I don't know what I was before then, but I don't look up January to see where the stars are in relationship to my life. And if you're still looking at that, quit it. Stop it. Isaiah 47, I believe, says, stand now with thy stargazers and thy monthly prognosticators. Psychic Network went out of business. You'd think they would have known. Can you say amen, as one preacher said? They went out of business, but there's a whole lot of people wanting them to tell them what their future's going to be. There are Christians who would rather get a prophesied word than the eternal, inerrant scripture. And that's why they're so easily duped and so easily deceived. This is a compromised time. This is when ground is given to the devil. But there's a remnant of people, and they are getting together like we're assembled right here. They're getting together in order to help one another stand. Because the trend is away from God. They're actually questioning and accusing God and saying following Jehovah is tough. The wicked don't have it so tough because they don't have to live by these rules. They're getting rich. They're getting blessed. And we're having trouble every way we turn. But when the remnant got together and began to extol God and praise God and lift up Jesus, the Lord bent down to listen. You see, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to do what? Show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Amen. People involved in witchcraft, people reading the stars and trying to blend it with the Christian faith, they don't like these messages. It will make them squirm. You know why? Because it's revealing what is desperately wrong in the heart and in the life. And God will not tolerate it. You can't serve two masters. Can you say amen? So stand now with thy stargazers, thy monthly prognosticators, these people predicting by whatever. I don't know if anyone has that in Isaiah 47, I believe. It may be there. If it isn't, I'll find it so we can clarify it before we close. You have it, verse 12. Can you read it?
Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. So if so be, thou mayest prevail.
Read that again.
Just a little louder.
Stand now with thine enchantments and with a multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly procrastinators, and stand up and save thee, save thee with these things. They shall come upon thee.
Listen, when God's judgments fall in the land, the people that are trusting in all of these things, and by the way, when we talk about sorceries, everyone sees Mickey the Sorcerer's Apprentice, or we see some occult person. In the book of Revelation, speaking of Babylon, it says, neither repented her of her sorceries. And we think of the occult, we think of witchcraft. But the word sorcery in the book of Revelation is not about witchcraft. It's not about the occult. It's the word in the Greek, pharmakos. And it's where we get the word pharmacy. There's good medicine at the pharmacy, but there are bad drugs even at the pharmacy. If we can't find God's peace, if we as Christians can't, until my son made a full surrender to Christ, he had no peace, fulfilling the scripture. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. No peace unto the wicked. He had no peace. He wasn't a social drinker. He wasn't a drinker that went to parties and every weekend was in a club. He was a drinker to cope with the absence of peace. He drank and went to bed. He got home from work, started drinking so he could go to bed and sleep, so he could get up and go to work. He said, Dad, unless I had a few beers, I couldn't even play my guitar publicly. And everybody thought he was a whiz and he ought to be in Nashville, when in fact he was bound. Neither repented of their sorceries. My uncle was a preacher of the gospel for over 20 years. He sat in New York with David Wilkerson. He was the youngest man to achieve his ranking within his denomination, Full Gospel Pentecostal. They gave him such credit for that because he was in that position of an overseer. Last church he pastored was almost 1,000 people. That's where he broke under the load. That's where his marriage broke down. That achievement was where his personal life began to fall apart. He started lifting weights and he made his own, and that's not a good thing. He took those 5-gallon containers, like you put paint in, put them with concrete, and he was going to bench press them and not have to invest in it, go into a gym or, whatever. He hurt his back. He had prayer, but when the prayer was given for his back, he was so busy pouring out the gospel, he never stopped long enough to drink it in. He had no faith to receive because he was too busy preaching and teaching the word to sit down and receive the word for his own personal relationship with God. They took care of the pain so he could function. They gave him real, serious, heavy-duty pain medication. And it numbed his back to where he could, for all practical purposes, walk out in his suit on Sunday morning and preach a strong message and go home pretty quick to get a hold of that other pill. While he's breaking down physically, he's breaking down emotionally. There's trouble between him and his wife adding to the pressure. This particular denomination did not tolerate that. Your family had to be immaculate, having your children and your family under all subjection. So that pressure was on him. He found out there was more than the pain in his back. There was pain emotionally. And he found out that the same pill that numbed his back would numb his emotions to the hurt. He went through a nervous breakdown situation down in Fort Myers after he left that church, because that's where it all began to unravel. When he seemed at the pinnacle of success, it began to unravel. Highly anointed, called of God. If you go to the Plant City Church of God today, the big one they built, there is a list of people that got their calling at that church when it was in the small church near the fairground. And on that plaque is William O. Venable. That's my uncle. That's where he got the call to preach the gospel. The devil doesn't care if you're called. He doesn't care if you're anointed. If you give place to him, if you give place to him, if you give place to him, amen, he is going to take advantage of that that he has no authority to do. The problem with the sorcery part, the pharmacus part, it's not just drugs coming over from the Mexico. It's not just street drugs. It's drugs that are so legitimately to deal with problems that we as Christians should find help and hope in God. It's okay for that until we get the genuine. But when we forsake pursuing the peace of God, and we try to replace it with a chemical, we become chemically dependent, just like the world. And while we frown on them for doing drugs, you understand what I'm saying today? Am I making myself clear? Sorceries is more than messing around in the occult. The chemical dependency for his emotions outweighed even the dependency for the pain. Problem is, he needed more and more and more. And here's what people do. There's many others do what he did. He got all he could get from one doctor, and doctors are supposed to recognize when you're becoming over-dependent and try to wean you off, not keep feeding that. Writing prescriptions and feeding that. They fed him until they wouldn't no more. And then he went to another doctor that he had never been to, miles away, and got him to prescribe something for him. And then to another, and he got to the place. I didn't know this was occurring. He got to the place where he couldn't just orally take it. He mashed it up, put purified water, and took it into a syringe so he could get it quickly into his system. And he injected it into his veins. When he finally ended up in the hospital, I went to visit him and pray for him. Got to understand, this is a preacher. This is not somebody that's just a street drug addict. I went to pray for him, and they had him strapped to the bed. I asked the nurse before I went in, I said, why is he strapped to the bed? She said, he's going through DTs, delirium tremors. He's coming off of drugs, prescription drugs. And I went over and see, he always wore a long sleeve shirt, but he had on the hospital gown. And the veins where he was injecting himself had collapsed. Have you ever heard the term track marks on an addict? It means they have injected that vein so many times that it has collapsed. And it leaves an indention where a vein should be prominent. And I looked at my uncle, pastor, preacher, achieving within the denomination, in that condition. And I said, something is wrong and we can't just keep blaming the devil for it. That old dog won't hunt no more. That old excuse, God will not allow it. In fact, that excuse gives Satan more ground because it ascribes to him more power than God, more power than the name of Jesus, and gives him even more ground to afflict, to bind. And I prayed for him to be delivered, and I prayed for him to be set free. And I remember on a Wednesday night service about this many people at the old Holy Church of God, my uncle came and sit in the back seat. Hallelujah. But he was there, and I saw him there. Had nothing to do with what I was going to preach. I didn't preach on drug addiction. I didn't preach on sin and compromise. I preached on the blood of Jesus that night. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Amen. Because I preached on the efficacy of the blood of Jesus for them not only that have been saved, but anyone that has fallen away and needs to come back. That blood still stands. Hallelujah. And represents a grace to forgive. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I remember that Wednesday night, he raised his hand to come back to God. And he came back to God. And I was so glad to see him back to the Lord. Amen. He came to me and he said, Bobby, I've come back to God. I didn't think I could come back to God. I thought I was too far gone for God to ever have me back. He said, I know I'm not ever supposed to preach again. I can't be an example. But he said, if I could use one of those Sunday school rooms, And I could be a counselor for you. And I could warn people. I could tell them, don't take grace for granted. Don't let the devil have a foothold in your life. I mean, he was passionate about that. And I said, you can certainly have it. He said, can I have some of my books back? Studying for Lee College graduation or whatever, the Church of God Bible College. I said, you can have anything that you want to prepare. His health had deteriorated. His body had already been racked with all of this. He was working at a night watchman at a phosphate mine of US 39 South. And after a long night at the phosphate mine, he had an old Cadillac. My daddy loved Cadillacs. Amen. I don't care how old it was, how creepy it looked, like the Adams Family vehicle, but headliners coming out. You know those things you put in, those color pens that you put in, not chalkboards, but those cork boards. Yeah, he had them stuck all over. I'll tell you, but it was a Cadillac. Amen. A Cadillac is a Cadillac, even if your headliner's held up with multiple colored stick pins. My uncle had an old Cadillac. This old Cadillac, 200,000 miles, oil drinking, smoking thing. Not smoking that he did, but smoke out the tailpipe. The week before he went to heaven, week or two before, I went and got him, and we went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's Breakfast in Tampa. I became a mentor to my reconciled to God uncle. who was a pastor and preacher before I even ever thought of coming to Jesus. I not only saw the defeat when the devil was given place to, I saw the victory that's in the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. Amen. He came back to God. No more drugs. Hallelujah. And I remember that night of Weaver's preaching strong under the anointing on the blood of Jesus. He never saw grace as sufficient as it was that night for his sin. We walked out of that full gospel business men's breakfast, and he was getting ready to go in the passenger side, and I was getting ready to go in my side, and we were right at the hood. He stopped. He said, "Bobby," he looked at me. He said, "Bobby, God has anointed you. God has anointed you." He said, "I believe that God has given you my mantle to carry forward." He said, "Bobby, don't ever, ever compromise. Don't ever compromise that mantle. Treat it precious, because there's nothing like that anointing in your life." He knew what it was to be anointed. How art the mighty fallen? It's what David said when Saul was defeated on the field of battle. How art the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, and publish it not in Ascalon, the capital cities of the Philistines, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. And they'll rejoice to this day when one preacher or one Christian fails. But there's still the blood of Jesus. And there's still hope, and there's still redemption, and there's still restoration. But his body, coming home after an all night with his body weakened by all it had been through, he was drug free now, alcohol free. He got into alcohol after he couldn't get any more drugs. That's why we can't fool around with giving place to the devil. No matter what it costs me, I will not acquiesce. People are dealing with him, giving place to him. I'm going to call you on it. I don't want to ever hear that the reason you're defeated is because of all that demonic this and that, and they're doing that to me. No, they are not. You're giving place, and you need to stop it. Because if you give him ground, he's going to take all of it. Coming back, he fell asleep at the wheel. And on State Road 39, there were tankers running back and forth to the mine. The tanker truck just clipped the front of that old Cadillac. He died instantly. The tanker driver came to the funeral. And I was the second part of that funeral to preach it, because I was the pastor that could confirm that he had come back to Christ for his family's sake and anyone who wanted to know. And the truck driver said, "I'm so sorry. I did everything I could to miss him. I saw him coming in the other lane, two-lane road. I saw him not off. And I knew I was getting closer to him, and I had no place to go." He said, "But he sat up, took control, till he got right up, and I relaxed," he said. "He got right up close to me, and then he nodded off again. And that's when he clipped him. He was killed instantly. It is my understanding there was no blood. One thing there was, in the back seat, the books that I had lent him to prepare himself to warn others were in the back seat of that Cadillac. I wished he could have lived. But there are situations where the body is destroyed for something greater than this old body that's going to die anyway, that the spirit might be secured and saved. My son was one of those firebrands plucked out of the fire. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. He was plucked out of the fire. And the devil did not win the ultimate battle. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm sure my uncle's in heaven. And I'm sure my son is in heaven. Because both of them received the benefit and the blessing of the blood of Jesus. And if God be for us, and that's what puts him for us, who can be against us? We were going to talk about the book of remembrance. And we're going to save it. Because the Holy Spirit changed the message. Do you know why he changed it? There's a reason here today for this message. I don't know it. But God did. There's a purpose for this message today. I don't know it, but God does. Part of it was for you. Thank the Lord you're soaking it in. God is at work in your life to restore. The devil thought he had you wrapped up and tied up, but he does not. Let me get Israel out of trouble. Amen. He said, I can't curse them. I cannot curse them. I cannot curse them because God has already proclaimed the blessing. Hallelujah. Aaronic blessing, they call it. Aaron proclaimed it, but God told Moses to tell Aaron to tell the people, this is what I want for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Come on, keep you, keep you, keep you, keep you. Hallelujah. The Lord make his face to shine on you. Lift his countenance upon you. Smile upon you and give you peace. Because you're kept by the power of God unto the day of redemption. Can you say amen? And the battle belongs to the Lord. Let's go home with that today.